Sox front office report is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by FindMassMoney.gov, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. We are at the Parrot in Hull. And folks, we are joined now by the Chief Baseball Officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig.
Yay.
Craig Breslow. Craig. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. How are you doing?
These people, we got people here in Hull, Craig. Say hello to the people in Hull.
How's everybody doing this morning?
They're doing good. Uh-huh. We're going to try to control these people, Craig. I'm sure you're feeling good this morning after starting this Yankee series off with a win last night.
Well, the morning after a win is always better than after a loss, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't hide how disappointing the season has been to date.
You said Monday to Tim Healy that you still think the ship can be righted. We had Sam Kennedy doing this a couple weeks ago on this show and said, you know, we have a couple weeks here before we need to pivot, which would be now. Is there a disconnect between you guys or where are you on kind of the philosophy going forward here?
Sure. No, there's no disconnect. Sam and I are talking every day or multiple times a day. And we're constantly assessing where we are, both in terms of what's happening, you know, at Fenway Park and with our team on the field, and then what's happening around us. But we have to be realistic about where we are. And it's true that we can believe in the roster that we have. We can believe in our players and know that we're capable of playing better baseball, and also that we're not where we expected to be. That's incredibly frustrating and disappointing, and we're going to have to be realistic about what is best for the organization.
But I mean, in order for the ship to be righted, you really have to win a whole bunch of baseball games here. Are you honestly believing that this team can do that at this point?
Yes, and you're exactly right. We have to win a lot of baseball games, and we don't have a ton of time to do it. I believe that we're capable of doing it. It's going to require more consistent play on the field. But I see no reason that with the pitching that we have, with the consistency of the starting pitching, with the strength of the back end of the bullpen, that we, you know, can't put ourselves in a position where we do win those games. But we got to go out and do it. That's the reality of, you know, approaching July, being in last place in the division, not having won as many games as we thought we were going to heading into this point.
I mean, I feel like I'm more likely to go on a run than this team is, Craig.
Oh, jeez.
Not a runner.
I haven't seen you throw a pitch or take a swing.
Oh, God.
Okay. How about a couple injury situations here just for update perspective. What's going on with Roman Anthony? I know Chad Tracy said the other day, still can't swing a bat. Like, what's the update there?
Yeah, not much to report, unfortunately, in terms of change. Roman's, you know, working hard to get back as soon as he can, but we're just not seeing progress as quickly as we would hope. He is getting better. He gets a little bit better every day. It's just been a very long process for him.
Craig, why is this team almost identical with two different managers? One was 7 games under. Chad Tracy, I believe, is 6 games under. If the manager was the problem, why are they the same?
I mean, our performance has not been what we would have hoped, and ultimately that the accountability for that falls on me. But I also think that, you know, we've consistently pitched really well over the last 2 months or so. We've seen, some guys put together more consistent at bats. We've seen guys continue to perform. Ultimately, where we're falling short, and I will be the first person to acknowledge that and own it, is we're not winning baseball games.
But I would say the accountability actually fell on Cora. He's out of a job and you're here, so how is that the case?
I'm not
totally sure I follow the question. Every time I'm faced with a difficult decision, I do what I believe to be best for the organization. I will continue to do that for as long as I have this position. Ultimately, it's my responsibility to do everything that I possibly can to put a team on the field, that meets the expectations of our fan base, meets the expectation of the organization, and that's why I can compete for World Series championships.
Craig, when you look at this roster, do you feel like you did everything in your power to put together the best roster leading up until this season?
I think we improved our roster relative to the team that finished the season in 2025. But ultimately, again, this comes down to what happens on the field. This is the big leagues, and we're measured by the success that we have on the field, and right now we're falling short. So we can believe in the players, we can believe in the roster, but ultimately we have to we have to look back at decisions that we made and question where we might have been able to do things better.
We talked a lot on the show, and we're not there, so we just don't know. So we always kind of speculate. Be great to hear about Kyle Boddy leaving and how involved he was. Is there a change when it comes inside the organization? How much you are going to or do rely on Driveline?
Sure. So Kyle was a consultant for the last 2 years. His responsibilities within the organization had diminished over time. There was another opportunity that he wanted to pursue, and it made sense for him to do that based on the work that he was doing here versus what he had in front of him. I think if I were to talk about how he contributed over the last year or so, He worked with members of our what we call baseball sciences, but it's the sports science and biomechanics and that department. Just given the exposure that he has to some of the newest technology that players use to train, and so he was able to contribute in that space.
Craig, how would you describe the team's fundamental inability to understand the basics of baseball, like? With two outs, you're turning a double play, you're throwing to the wrong cutoff man. Like, it just has, even aesthetically, it's been a tough watch. Why is that? Why would you say that's happening on a big league club?
Yeah, I think some of those, I'll call them, mental lapses, they come when there's frustration around performance, when guys are putting pressure on themselves and maybe trying to do a little bit too much or focused on the next thing instead of the thing that's directly in front of them. And we've made some changes to the way that we approach teaching the fundamentals of baseball throughout the organization to address those types of things. Things like how to be the best base running team we possibly can, how to have situational awareness and, really teach gameplay so that when guys get to the big leagues, no matter how much pressure they feel, no matter what their performance is on the other side of the ball, they're able to handle those things.
Are you currently actively engaging when it comes to talking to other teams about deals that they might want to make when it comes to players on this team?
This is the time of year where a lot of those conversations start taking place. They tend to be pretty exploratory in nature at this point, but we've been having conversations throughout the season looking at what we can do to improve our outlook. This today is no different.
Craig, when you talk about little things, basic errors, lack of focus, and the team not playing as well as they are, how much, or do you look at possibly that some guys might be checked out? And if so, how do you make sure you get those guys not to just be looking at, all right, when is this season going to be over?
Yeah, I would push back strongly on the notion that guys are checked out. I actually think the opposite is what's happening. If you spend any time in the clubhouse with these guys, they're focused on preparing for the game. They're working incredibly hard. They're talking about baseball. They are the furthest thing from checked out. Actually, in the clubhouse, the focus is on what they can do to get better, to prepare, and to win that night's game. And that's the reality when you walk in.
Do you talk to John Henry about your own job? There was a story yesterday by Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic that said after Cora, you were next. I don't know how you would handle that internally when you see something like that in the newspaper and on The Athletic.
I don't have conversations with John about my job. My focus is on doing the things that I was brought in here to do, things like build a strong internal pitching development pipeline to try and work through the defensive struggles that we've had, where we led baseball in errors for 3 or 4 years straight, to modernize the front office and make sure that we can compete with 29 other teams and doing everything that we can to put our players in a position to win Major League Baseball games.
We were talking a lot yesterday about some of the younger guys, Marcelo Meyer, Roman's injured, but Christian Campbell. You were just talking about kind of your role and kind of overseeing the whole organization. Do you feel like the organization has done the best that it can do with those young guys to get them ready for where the team needs them to be up here at this point?
I think we're doing everything that we can to prepare these guys. I think Boston is a unique market and it presents unique challenges. We have to be aware of that. But while we think that we're doing everything we can to prepare these guys, we also have to look at, how the transition is going for players and ask questions about what we might be missing. We talk to our players, especially players that are going through that transition, and look for feedback around where they think that they were well prepared and where they think that we can do a better job. I think both of those things can be true, that we are focused on doing everything we possibly can. And also, we've got to keep asking questions about how we can do better.
Craig, I remember when I played in the NFL, it was a long time ago. We as a team, and I know they do it a lot of sports, would give ourselves like mid-season grades on what we were doing, what we could be doing better. When you look at your team, you're almost through the halfway point of the season. What would you grade yourself and your team, and where do you think you can get better and maybe potentially changing some of those grades?
Sure. I think given where we are in the standings, given the record as we sit here on June 26th, we can't give ourselves high marks overall. I can't give myself a high mark. That doesn't mean that we aren't doing some things particularly well, though. We talked all off season about pitching being the strength of this team. And over the last 2 months, I think we've really seen that. We've gotten consistently strong starting pitching. The back end of the bullpen, despite maybe a couple blips here recently, has been able to lock down wins for us. Our infield defense, outfield defense have been consistently excellent. And I know a lot has been made, and I think fairly, of the inconsistency to our offense. And so as we think about what the second half can bring, we need to preserve the things that we do well. We need to make sure that we're getting consistent starting pitching, which keeps us in games every night. And we need to score more runs. And we're going to score more runs by having consistently quality at-bats, understanding what the strengths are of each individual hitter and how they can go out and use those skills to contribute to runs. And I think that will include things like, blocking in when we have runners in scoring position, having a two-strike approach to battle and put the ball in play, and identifying the pitches in an at-bat before we get to two strikes where we can get our best swings off and try to do some damage.
Craig, has there sort of an organizational sit-down where you'll decide whether you're going in one way or the other? And who is a part of those negotiations or those conversations within the walls of Fenway Park in terms of the trade deadline?
Sure. I think the conversations are pretty regular and fluid, and we're constantly assessing where we are relative to the rest of the league. But in terms of a direction, I will make a recommendation, the one that I think is best for the organization, and sit down with Sam, John, Tom, Mike Gordon, Theo, and kind of state the case for why I think one direction is the right one for us.
Well, where you are with regard to the rest of the league, unfortunately, is last. But listen, things can change. I think that's your message today, right?
Well, I think things things can change. We've seen that things can change. I think more than that, though, is, you know, we've got a group of players and coaches that are committed to doing what we can to give ourselves a chance for that to change. You know, and if you walk through the clubhouse, if you walk through the coaches' room, that's what you see. It's guys who feel like it's an honor and a privilege to put on a Red Sox uniform, who want to go out and compete at a level that that makes the fan base proud. And that's something that I share with them.
All right. Appreciate you taking the time. That is Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. There, Meg, you can't hear it. You can't hear it, but they're cheering for you. It sounds.
They're cheering.
Craig, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
All right. There you go. There he is. That's Craig Breslow. You people.
Guys are brutal.
You people are cruel.
Can I tell you, if they fire him today, that was evil having him do that interview.
Yeah, well, they're not going to fire him.
Oh,
I don't think
he doesn't talk to John Henry about his job. That is a bad sign, Bubba.
I think he's here at least through the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I would think.
I really do.
If they do fire him, it'll be after the season.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that got fired right after he was on with us?
Alex Cora.
No. Oh, yeah. I mean, in the front office. That's Wiggy. Another notch in your belt.
Who are you talking about?
It was a couple years ago. He was a GM, not Hoyer, Jed Hoyer. It was a different guy. There was a guy that was...
Brian O'Halloran?
No, it was...
Brian O'Halloran's still there, I think.
Right. What sport are you talking about?
It was the Red Sox front office. It was like the same day that he was on with us. He got fired. We'll figure it out.
All right. We will be back in 2 minutes with Hill Notes from Hall at the Parrot on a road show Friday on WEEI.
It is 937 WEEI. It is Rich, certainly, Ken Laird, Rob Bradford, and we are at Fenway right now, brought to you at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio, as a matter of fact, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball in that dirty water. I love that clip of Chad Tracy, by the way, because, I mean, if you saw it last night, it was kind of a funny moment where you had, was it Volpe who checked a swing? Okay, yeah. So Volpe checked a swing, and Chad Tracy came out and started going like, hey, man, that wasn't a check swing. Hey, kind of like Brad Stevens getting mad, like not really very mad, and then Andrew Bailey comes out yelling, you effing piece of blank, like as explicit as it could possibly be, and he finally got booted. I haven't seen Chad Tracy, like that was him trying to get angry, and I think he just can't get angry.
I mean, there's still a lot of year left. that umpire, by the way, looked like he was 10 years old.
He did. He looked like a kid.
I felt almost bad for him. Like the adults ganging up on the kid. So.
Is Bailey his attack dog? Is he like getting more of a say in the organization?
I don't know. I mean, hey, we're learning more and more things about this team every single day, right?
There are.
Third basemen can play with dislocated fingers, and Andrew Bailey is the designated attack dog.
All right, so it was an interesting morning because Craig Breslow did his semi-weekly appearances. Is that every 2 weeks that he's
on? The front office report is every week. He rotates with Sam Kennedy.
Okay. Yeah. So Craig Breslow was on this morning, and it was the one thing that was kind of funny is that, you know, Greg Hill right now, I think he's in Hull doing his road show.
Yeah.
And when they introduced Craig Breslow, you could hear the crowd. It's like, woo! And this one guy goes, do your job! Do something! Like, you can hear it. And you know Breslow's, like, hearing every single thing because you can hear it on the radio. So he obviously knows that he wasn't very well liked by the crowd that was there. It was tough to listen to. It really was, because it's essentially a guy just, and they asked him good questions, but all the questions are, why are you incompetent? Why are you bad at your job? And he had to kind of sit there and go, yeah, we need to be better. Yeah, we need to do this. We need to do that. And it's like now, ever since a couple of weeks ago where Sam Kennedy just decided that's going to be how we're going to handle this. And it's not, in matter of fact, it's probably the right way to do it, is just to take accountability and say, yeah, we're awful and we need to get better, blah, 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 blah. But this is the first question that, I mean, this one is, I don't know how you answer this, but Craig Breslow tried. And the question was, how do you turn this thing around? And yeah, here's what Breslow
said. In order
said.
For the ship to be righted, you really have to win a whole bunch of baseball games here. Are you honestly believing that this team can do that at this point?
Yes, and you're exactly right. We have to win a lot of baseball games, and we don't have a ton of time to do it. I believe that we're capable of doing it. it's going to require more consistent play on the field. But I see no you know reason that with the pitching that we have, you know, with the consistency of the starting pitching, with the strength of the back end of the bullpen, that we can't put ourselves in a position where we do win those games. But we got to go out and do it. That's the reality of approaching July, being in last place in the division, not having won as many games as we thought we were going to heading into this point.
I don't even know what to say. It's just what else is he going to say?
Yeah, well, first of all, I love the guy saying, do something!
It was great.
It's not just booing. It's like, do something. Okay, all right. I would say this, is that they have not won more than three games in a row all year. They've only won three games in a row twice, and that was in early May. So, yes, we understand. You pitch well. You have good pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
You have playoff-level pitching. This is the biggest difference since Alex Cora left, that their pitching is significantly better than it was the first 3 weeks of the season.
And by the way, eighth straight quality starts, most since 2017.
Fantastic. Great. I mean, and this, but here it is. It's a results business. It's wins and losses. And later in the interview is also telling to me about, and I can't remember if this was the Wiggy give yourself a grade question, which by the way, no way the Patriots said give yourself a grade. Like,
at the midpoint they all said that?
They all said everybody gathered around, and Breslow was smart, by the way, not to say, "Hey, I'm an FD or whatever."
Right.
Because we immediately do quote cards of that. But I think that when he was asked about what he's like, I'm doing what I was brought in to do. I think this is maybe the, hey, have you talked to Sean Henry? And when he said I'm doing what I was brought in to do, and he cited all pitching things. Mm-hmm. He cited pitching development, pitching program, and that's the first thing that he cited. And I know that he knows it's more than that.
Yeah.
But this is the problem, and you keep coming back to the pitching thing. Yes, we understand this, but the problem, the reason why you are in the last place, the reason why you are in this situation isn't rocket science. It is because you do not have the middle of the order bat, the consistent bats that allow you to win games, to allow you to get runners in, allow you to come back in games, allow you to win consistently at Fenway Park. That's the biggest problem. I mean, it's not complicated.
Yeah, okay, so I gotta play that again. I talked over it. Let me hear that.
You're so great job.
That was pretty funny. All right, so if we were talking about this off the air, like the one question I'd want to ask Craig Breslow. But I would love it if he had truth serum, because I mean, I like would really like to know what he would say to this, is that if you could go back to the beginning of the season, what would you have done differently? Like, yeah. What would you do differently? What do you think if he was injected with truth serum?
Not fire Alex Cora and all the coaches. Although he wouldn't, I don't think he would say that.
No,
I think he, this is what we're bringing up the trade deadline now, Rich, and their philosophy and how they're approaching it. They still do believe that their roster, their players are good enough to actually win, to actually go on a run.
Mm.
This is why Alex Cora and half the coaching staff was fired, because they said, we believe that the players we got are better than you're allowing them to be. And so ultimately, that's going to bear itself out, and it hasn't. It just simply hasn't. But they're still digging in on this.
Why are they so delusional about that?
Well, because this is what they've dug it. You cannot say that you're not going to pivot away from it until the very last minute, because they had put all the you-know-whats on the table, because when they fired Cora and the rest of the coaching staff, it was we think this is the biggest problem. It is not the roster that we put together. And they can talk about it's a long season and so forth and so on, but it's not.
Yeah.
Because you have to – it's not about the season. It's about you have – 3-4 weeks to decide whether or not you're going to take advantage of Aroldis Chapman, Sonny Gray, maybe Wilson Contreras. That's your deadline. That's what you have to figure out if you can actually go on a run before that.
You know what's wild? What's really confusing the situation, and probably Breslow, are the standings, because they are
absolutely
3 games behind Houston for the wild card in the loss column. They have a 10% chance of making the playoffs. As horrible as this season has been, I don't know how it's possible, but there it is.
Yeah, how many teams are ahead of them, though, in the wild card?
Oh, probably like 8.
Yeah, it's like 8 teams are ahead of them.
Guys,
you know?
Like, we can play that game, because Houston was, like, with them a few weeks ago, and now they're a playoff team. We can play that game, but you're hitting your head against the wall. It's a definition of insanity because we're 3 months in the season.
Yeah.
And you have not won four games in a row, and you've only won three games in a row twice.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let's go to Jay on line one. Jay, what's up, man? How's it going? Jay.
Holy moly. Yeah.
Yo. Hey, what's up, man? You're on.
Oh, my God. Was that Shannon Dull? All I hear is a horse barking.
Shannon Doe? Hang on. Like the Shenandoah Valley? What was that joke?
Shannon Dull. Not Shark.
Shannon Dull. Who is Shannon Dull?
Oh, I wonder if he's hearing Shannon Sharp. He's probably listening in the back room to a Shannon Sharp clip that the.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you obviously are not listening. Yeah, there's no Shannon Sharp here.
Yeah, I was listening to whatever's going on in the background, and I'm like, that guy doesn't have a horse in the race. What the heck are you talking about?
So, it's a Shannon Sharp horse joke. I like that one. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. Jay, you're back on track.
I was calling about Breslow and how he has to get a point across every time by saying, and you know that's what the point is, and I have to tell you what is going on, and it's like, and you know what I mean, and, you know, everything he says doesn't, he's just covering his butt every time he answers a question. It's almost like I get douche chills every time I hear him answer a question. It's very, very nauseating. The guy is
Jay, legit. And we had this, Ken and I had the same reaction. We listened to that interview this morning. We're like, dude, that's tough to listen to.
Yeah.
And it's just the way that he, it's not even that it's just depressing, but I remember I listened to it on the podcast when I was coming in, and you know, in the middle of it, sometimes they interject a little commercial, and it was like, oh, thank God. It was like a nice little break. Yeah. It was like a commercial for like car insurance and something. Like, God, I need some car insurance.
They're the big winner. Car insurance.
Yeah. But when Ken Rosenthal's writing, Rob, that he's the dead man walking. Mm. Like, maybe we want
to. I want to get to that. We have to quickly break because I want to get to that. And also, Alex Cora spoke for the first time. Now, yes. Rob Bradford, I don't know if you had time to translate it.
Oh, my goodness. The only Spanish I know is baseball, no es aburrido. Mm-hmm. But thanks to AI, we can run the entire 3-hour Alex Cora podcast through the translation.
He spoke for 3 hours. Wow. Okay, well, I want to hear what Alex Cora had to say, and we'll get to all that right after this.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Hey, it's Diz, and we're excited to share that we're donating $50 for every Red Sox double to the American Diabetes Association. Join us as we continue the fight against diabetes and work to find a cure. The next game against the Yankees, another great opportunity to raise money and hope with Doubles for Diabetes, brought to you in part by the Massachusetts Health Connector. Having health insurance is a must-have, and the Massachusetts Health Connector has a power-packed lineup and connector care plans that deliver. At the top of the order, lower premiums make monthly costs affordable. Middle of the lineup, packed with low co-pays and no deductibles, so you can save money on everything from an urgent ER trip to managing chronic disease like diabetes and hypertension through no-cost prescriptions. Round out the order, access to connector care plans now at mahealthconnector.org, and you have a winning team with you and the Massachusetts Health Connector. Our tally, up to 137 doubles. That's $6,750 donated. Let's knock some more in this week, boys.
Schlittler bent knees on the first base side of the rubber. Payoff pitch is swung on and driven high and deep into left field. It is off the top of the wall and out of here. Caleb Darvin says adios. A 2-run homer, and the Red Sox have erupted and they lead it 4-2.
Caleb Darvin, home run derby, they're calling him.
Yeah, it makes sense. The guy's red hot.
Who's they?
I think Carrabba's.
Carrabba's not.
I think the Section 10 guys are doing Carrabba's. That. Yeah.
You
can't spell, this is another one they say, you can't spell RBI without Durbin.
No.
Sorry, Durbin without RBI, rather. Yeah.
Is that right?
The second way.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. I don't think you're calling him anything, really. They're a little too late. I think Alex Cora was like, hey, where was that? Where was that the first month? I might still be the manager if you were actually a halfway decent player.
I don't know. Maybe you'd say a good manager could get that out
of
him.
No, true. Sure, you could flip it that way. It does seem like it's a little too late. Now, as far as like the future of Durbin, I don't know, maybe he sticks around and maybe he ends up being like a starter for you. But he was so bad early on that you're like, all right, if he is going to hit 230, let's call it, for the season. He's going to have to go on fire. True. He was 0 for 2 months.
True.
So we'll see where this goes. Like, is this going to be like when we look back at Jackie Bradley Jr. seasons and you're like, that month he didn't hit, that month he didn't hit. Oh, that month he didn't get out.
Right, that month he
hit. And then those two, he didn't hit, didn't hit. Yeah, and then he ends up hitting 225.
Right.
So that'd be my guess.
No, and you said this about Durant, too. Like, I mean, Durant got red hot for a month. He's and right then, back to being Jaren Durant.
And then didn't.
Although, let me tell you, my bet last night was no hits for Durant against Schlittler and hit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kick right in the nuts. In a related story, I also bet Team USA last night.
Oh,
to get the victory.
Up against it. Yeah, my parlay went up in smoke when Ecuador knocked off Germany right off the rip. I didn't stick around for the rest. It didn't matter.
No, it was a rough night for the account. But yeah. You know what they say, scare money, don't make money, Keith.
Oh, good point. I get right back on that horse today.
So you could earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose, with the Fanatic Sportsbook. Winning hits different here.
Did you see?
At Fanatic Sportsbook.
Was that where Wiggy gave away $100 on that today to a listener?
Oh,
and
I
the guy
it.
Called in. He's like, oh, it's great. He's like, I'm going to put it all on the Red Sox money line tonight. He was like, ooh.
Maybe don't. Maybe don't do that.
Maybe hang on to that.
Is what I would say.
Yeah, tough.
Okay, well, they get to Schlittler last night.
Yep.
Kind of.
I mean, the Yankee defense was just falling apart.
Abysmal.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Four errors.
That first hit that Durbin got too, they said the exit velo was 50.
Oh, that thing! Oh,
that little pop
up.
The pop up.
Yeah,
but they gave him a hit. Nobody touched it. Yeah. So they're like, yeah, first in the books.
Yeah.
It was like 52 miles an hour exit velo.
Yeah. So Schlittler is still terrifying. He technically gave up no earned runs last night. Although you're right, Keith, he didn't exactly help himself.
He could have just caught the ball barehanded
with his defense.
Yeah.
But okay, they kind of get to Schlittler last night. We mentioned this earlier too. I don't have a ton of urgency. Like, one thing I don't get, I get people being like, why are you going to let Breslow handle the trade deadline?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get why people are like, Breslow needs to make trades today. Like, I really genuinely don't get that with, like, Durant. Like, as long as they trade him by the deadline, and there was the Feinstein report the other day that they might wait until the offseason. Like, as long as they trade Durant by the deadline, or Contreras, or especially Gray, I don't care. Like, I don't care that you trade those guys as long as they get traded. An injury can always happen.
Well, so fine. I think that part is more significant with Chapman. Because Chapman looks like okay.
So Chapman is the one guy where I'm like, you might need some urgency with that guy. Although, maybe teams are looking at it and they're like, well, let's wait till his hamstring clears up before we give you a top 100 prospect. Yeah, like, maybe other teams are not bullish on it. I don't know. But that's the one guy I would show some urgency with, because that hamstring, the way he's hobbling around, is a ticking time bomb with him.
So my concern, though, would be the injury with Chapman, but then also, if it's Craig Breslow in charge, he does not have a great track record of closing deals. And so the last couple of years, we wanted him to be a buyer, and he kind of was, and it was a bad result, right? Like, you were in on Joe Ryan, didn't get Joe Ryan, whatever. So now, if he waits till the last day, there's a good chance you're stuck with all these guys because he doesn't know how to do it.
But I'm just saying, like, I agree with that. Maybe don't wait till the last second, but, like, I'm not saying you need to trade Durant today.
Oh, you have a month. Actually, you have more than a month. I think the deadline's August 3rd.
Wild. You said that the other day.
I don't know why it's so late.
I did not realize that. That's another stupid thing that baseball does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would look at it and say this team, as long as they trade those guys, I don't really care. Chapman would be the one exception to the rule because, again, he's hobbling around out there.
Yeah.
Like, his hamstring's about to explode. And it almost did on the final play of the game last night. It almost did a few weeks ago, month ago, whatever it was, against Atlanta, where he made a very similar play to win the game. So that's one where you might want to show a little more urgency, Craig. Even though I know you think you could turn it around, according to your appearance today on the Greg Hill Show, which, again, Greg said, I have a better chance of going on a run than you do. Ralph is in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Hi. No, the trade deadline, the guy said you really can take advantage of somebody of Chapman and Gray. Because of their age, I would trade them. But this Breslow thing, it was like he was being slaughtered this morning. And you know what? I don't look at it like most people do. Look at the moves that he's made. And I think Durbin's going to show that he's a pretty decent player as he gets going. But, you know, he wasn't the one that got all these players way before you had to, way before they were, like, their arbitration, and signed them to those players. And a typical example is Anthony. Now, what does Anthony have to prove now financially?
You don't think that
whenever he wants.
Wait a minute.
Because of what they signed, how they paid him a guarantee $130 million.
Who do you think paid Roman Anthony? You think the owner did that?
Yeah. Well, Basically, yeah.
I mean, look, obviously
Breslow didn't make that decision. That was Kennedy and the owner that made that decision to do that.
Maybe.
He doesn't extend players. He trades them. That's what he does.
No, I disagree. I think on – and look, I mean, obviously, you have to go to John Henry and get the move approved. But I think an extent where John Henry's like, wait, you're going to lock up this guy for like $100 million for 6 years? Great, get that done.
Yeah.
I think the same thing with Christian Campbell. You think John Henry made the call on extending Christian
Campbell?
We
need Christian Campbell.
No, so I blame –
we need to keep this guy.
I blame Breslow for Campbell.
Yeah.
And I give Breslow credit, if you even want to these days – with the Roman Anthony extension. I think that level of deal, Breslow or any chief baseball officer here, whether it's Bloom before him, they have autonomy with that. If you're telling me they're throwing a bunch of money at Juan Soto or the Devers signing, that to me rises to that is John Henry's call.
No, I do think right now maybe Breslow's getting blamed overall like way more than he should. Not that he's doing a great job, but Sonny Gray, Ranger Suarez, both have sub-3 ERAs. He picked both of those guys up this offseason. Wilson Contreras is their best hitter by far, picked him up this offseason. Some of the guys that he inherited, Jaron Duran and Trevor Story, and were god-awful. So, and even Carlos Narvaez, who I know he brought in, but he was the starting catcher this year because he had a pretty good year last year. Sucked out loud this year and continues to suck. So, like, all those guys really underperforming, you're like, what more did you want him to do? Right? Like, Garrett Crochet.
Get rid of Trevor Story before the season.
So, look, fine.
Fair. That's fair.
That is fair. I don't know if.
Who's taking him?
Would he be allowed to do that? Like, I think Cora and Henry probably would be – Henry for financial reasons and Cora for, like, probably likes Trevor Story.
So,
but expecting the same season out of those guys was the mistake.
That's fair.
That is fair.
That is, also, that's totally fair.
But also what's super fair, and we said it at the time, was don't spend the money on Ranger Suarez. As good as he is, get Pete
spend
Alonso.
Yep.
That was obvious. No, we were all screaming about it for months.
His individual moves – I mean, look, the Durbin trade is a fail.
Yes.
Even though he's heating up. And last I checked, Kyle Harrison has no home runs off of Schlittler.
No.
But.
Not yet.
That's a fail. Most of his individual moves are pretty good. But he built a roster that doesn't fit. And he spent money on Suarez, which on its own is a good signing. Yeah. But again, it doesn't fit. You needed a bat. Why'd you spend on another pitcher? You could have just kept Kyle Harrison,
but
not
also,
traded for Durbin. And instead of throwing money at Suarez, signed a bat. So, like, he's not blameless, but the blame does rise above Craig Breslow. If you want to boo Breslow, I have no issue with
fine.
It. But the blame does go above him to ownership and the way they run things in general. I wouldn't blame them. That was an odd thing to blame them for the Anthony extension.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, and speaking of him, like, that's brutal. That was not a part of anybody's predictions for the season. Like, you've got nothing out of him. He wasn't very good.
Crochet doesn't make it out of April, and Anthony barely makes it to May.
Those are your two best players.
So, like, it's fair to say that he shouldn't have expected so much out of Trevor Story. True.
Right.
It's also fair to say that Story, which is more predictable, and Anthony and Crochet all being hurt, that's also hurting the team. I don't think that should be an excuse in a place like Boston. You should spend
money and
have better depth. But I do think that's, if you want to be fair, that's a fair thing to point out.
But also the next guy, and that's fine, because everybody hated Bloom and makes sense. Everyone now hates Breslow. Okay. Is the next guy going to be able to sign Suarez and Alonso, or is he only going to get one? Or is the next guy going to be allowed to get involved in like the big free agents? Probably not.
No.
I mean, I feel like I'm more likely to go on a run than this team is.
Breslow didn't really know how to answer that one. Mm. He didn't really get it.
Next question.
Yeah. But anyways, for the most part, I appreciate that Breslow, when he is getting his ass booed, can at least laugh at it a little bit. I do appreciate that about him. You don't have to like him, but I do appreciate that.
Craig Breslow. Craig. Good morning, Craig.
Do something. Good morning. How are you doing?
Do something.
Didn't somebody also yell, "You're killing this team"? Something like, "No, this team is dying.
The team's dying." Please help.
All right, good stuff.
What's going on, everyone?
Morning, Greg.
What it do? What it do? What's poppin'? Well, it is Thursday, and that is normally the day that we feature the front office report. But a little bit of news of note this morning, and that is that we were alerted at approximately 11 o'clock last night that the Brez bot would prefer to do the front office report tomorrow instead of today. Now, oftentimes those around us read into these kinds of things. I will say that I saw Wilson Contreras pull a Shime on social media yesterday and go at Delta Airlines for some sort of an issue that they had when trying to get out of Denver. So maybe that would be the innocent explanation on why the front office report will move till tomorrow morning. I will also note, though, that means Craig Breslow will join us live when we are in front of an audience of Red Sox fans.
And that's what I think somebody wanted last week at one of the road shows was, why can't we do it on a Friday? So there you go. Yes. You got your wish.
Yeah, so that gives us a unique opportunity, certainly.
Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Hi. Good morning. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Yeah, so. I am the best. I think the best two interviews we've done with the front office have been on Fridays. One was the Sam Kennedy in Falmouth at the Flying Bridge.
The Dr. Kennedy interview?
Yes. That is bad milk. Yeah. And then you have the Breslow in Fall River. That was what we just heard. So hopefully tomorrow. Yeah. I think he might not make it to tomorrow. I mean, he will be alive. I hope and pray. We all hope he lives to be 100. Yeah. But
he's getting fired?
Yeah.
Really? Well, that game was an absolute joke yesterday. Like, a joke of all jokes. And I don't know, it must have been, was it Tuesday when, I think it was Tuesday morning when we were talking about the way in which they lost that game on Monday night, and it can't get any worse, and you got... You know, you're giving up four hits, and then you're giving up another four hits, and then you're walked off, and so you're sitting there thinking it can't get worse. That was an absolute disaster of a game yesterday, against the worst team in Major League Baseball. We're gonna hear from Marcelo Meyer during They Said It, and he will tell you about how he blew that baseball game yesterday, but it's just lack of baseball IQ. There's guys that are cutting off the throw when they shouldn't be cutting off the throw. There are guys that are unable to keep their foot on the base when they finally get themselves a hit. They were trying to turn two on the third out in a Major League Baseball game.
Right.
So I don't know.
What's the opposite of situational awareness?
There's zero awareness.
It's unbelievable because even on a high school team, we tell each other how many outs there are every single play.
Right.
Yeah, well, somebody needs to tell Ron Herr Suarez and the rest of the fellas how many outs there are.
Oh, that's usually the catcher's job. You know,
you were an all city catcher.
That I was. Yeah, but I mean, with this Red Sox team, it's like taking a fat person to a buffet and you're surprised that they're crushing the buffet. Like, are you shocked that you're seeing this the way that they've been playing all year long?
I'm shocked at how bad. I'm shocked that there's a way that it could get any worse.
No,
that's
really?
That's what I'm shocked about.
Before you couldn't, if you went down 3-0, you couldn't come back. Now you get leads. And you can't keep leads. Like, this team is, we've been seeing this all season long. And so, like, for me, it's not, like, shocking. I'm just like, all right, can we fast forward, like, to Curtis's point, can we sim this to the end of the season and, like, get this thing over with? Yeah. Or football can't get here fast enough.
Nobody does disaster like the Red Sox. Like, they are, no matter what, the people change that run the organization, the people change on the field. But when things go wrong, boy, does it get out of control quick.
Well, the good news is they face Cam Schlittler tonight, so that should be. It's not like he's going to win the Cy Young or anything, so that should everything should be fine.
And they
I hope his family's protected at the park.
And I think the front office knows it too. When we had Sam Kennedy on, basically, you know, apologizing like he stole somebody's puppy on how bad, you know, basically what this team has looked like all season long. So I think in that clubhouse, the front office, the owner, John Henry, going to see people, they know that this is horrendous.
Yeah, and listen, I might be wrong. There's a texter, 978 texter on the Subaru of New England text line who says, Greg, it's not lack of baseball IQ. They are checked out and don't want to play for this ownership, don't want to play for this front office. So maybe that's maybe they just don't care.
I'm sorry, but in baseball, the guys like Marcelo Meyer, the young players, you are not playing for an organization. You are playing for generational wealth. And until you get to that free agent year, you need to play well so that other teams are interested in you. And the fact that they can't even play well for that, this is mental, man. This is like an organization. You know what happens sometimes when you fire a coach or a manager? You enable the players. And the players that didn't get the job done feel like, oh, right, it wasn't my fault. It was Cora's fault, yeah, or it was Belichick's fault, or it was whomever. And when you have young guys, several of which that have already been enriched beyond anybody's wildest imaginations, and you bring in their little whoopee in Chad Tracy, this is what happens. And I was dead wrong. I thought Cora had checked out. I thought the team had checked out on him. And the way they have played, the way that this organization has handled everything, the Roman Anthony update, which I'm sure we'll get to today,
awful. I mean, Chad Tracy yesterday said that Roman is not swinging a bat. We're going on 8 weeks now. Right. It'll be 8 weeks next week. And so there's no positive news there whatsoever. Mm-hmm. If he can't, I think Chad Tracy said he's tried to swing a light bat every once in a while, which Curtis has been doing his whole life. And what is Shime doing over there? Where's the rim shot on that, Shime?
Trying to get stuff ready over here, brother. I'm trying.
That's what pre-show is for getting things ready over there. Are you already thinking, dreaming about bar pizza this afternoon?
Yeah, Greg, I'm always dreaming about bar pizza.
We were invited to the next page in Weymouth, you and I, for bar pizza. Have you been?
I've never been.
Okay. Not only is there pizza, but there's also Keno. So would you like to make a stop on the way down?
Yeah. Okay. I'd love to do that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's a travel day for us. We are on our way to Hull and to Roadshow number 7, which will happen tomorrow. And can't wait to be at the Parrot tomorrow morning. Curtis will give you the weather in a little bit, but it looks like it's going to be A-okay for tonight and for tomorrow. Also invited out on a boat, my guy Kenny Greer wants to take us out on his boat this afternoon, if anybody's interested. There are some sites down there. I told you yesterday, old Revolutionary Fort that we could cruise by. Wiggy, I know you love history.
Yeah, I do. If
you'd like to take a run by that fort, we could do that in the harbor at Nantasket Beach if you want.
And if you want to arrive by sea, I found this out yesterday, there is a direct ferry from Long Wharf to Hull.
Oh,
25 minutes.
That ain't bad.
So if you're in Boston or even tomorrow morning, if you're looking to come from Boston to Hull to watch the broadcast, have a nice day, you don't want to sit in traffic, boom, you can take that.
That is not bad. Did not realize that.
Neither.
I know we got to sit in traffic today.
We cannot wait to see you. So looking forward to seeing you tonight. Sandbar Coastal Kitchen, 6:30 with Miller Lite. The Jaylen Brown drama continues. We are going to get to that. We are going to get to that. I feel it's more likely that you might be in a dunk tank at the first roadshow next year, Curtis, based on what is going on. It's not only is it Shams, but it's also your guy, Windhorst, who are both saying that the Celtics are furiously trying to move Jaylen Brown currently, and there is interest.
So I will not be in a dunk tank.
No, you won't.
You said you're not in a dunk tank as long as he is not a Celtic manager.
When I am right, the selective amnesia to remember the complete opposite is truly remarkable.
Well, you never paid off on the tattoo.
I'm going to get one.
I think if Brad is, I know that they're saying that, but there's no way they trade Jaylen Brown. Okay. It'll just be such a horrible
look. Why did he tweet cats?
Who tweeted cats?
Jaylen Brown.
I don't know why the hell
he tweeted, I love cats.
Was it a body movement reference?
I don't know. What the hell does that mean?
I love dogs.
All right, so let me ask you, what do you get from I Love Cats?
That he's pissed and he wants us to read into it because he's in high school.
I know, but how do you...
You never know.
Like, school me on what I like.
He's not happy. That's what he is.
I know, but what does I love cats mean? Like,
I don't know. It's just some stupid thing that he does to make you think and question about it. It's what's it called where it's like vague posting?
Yeah, but usually vague posting, like throwing subliminals, there's like, all right, I get what this means. Like, when you say the rice smells better at the neighbors, like, you kind of know what that means. But
maybe he wants to be a Charlotte Bobcat. You ever think about that?
I believe they're now called the Charlotte Hornets. So,
that probably doesn't work.
Good reference, old man.
Yes. That doesn't work anymore.
I don't believe
what
so.
What about grizzly? Is a grizzly? No, that's not, a bear.
That's a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Pelicans, really, clearly not.
What about the Pelicans?
Atlanta Hawks? Nope, those are not cats.
Oh, does he want to be a Timberwolf? Wolves are not cats.
Yeah, they're not cats either. But I know that the Timberwolves are tearing it down, and that Ant-Man, I'm not sure if they'll trade him, but is frustrated because they traded Julius Randle. They're probably going to trade Rudy Gobert. So that whole thing. So if you want to trade Jaylen Brown for Ant-Man, okay, now you got my juices flowing again, like the Giannis.
Yep. Yeah. He's not going to be here. And that's,
but that'll be the dumbest thing ever. If he's not here,
I'm not disagreeing.
If he's not here, Brad Stevens should get absolutely destroyed.
The answer that Brad Stevens gave the reporter who asked if Jaylen Brown will be on the team following the demise of the deal they were trying to get with the Bucks.
I get that.
And he had that answer saying, I can't predict the future.
Right.
That was the tell. He's gone. There, right. It's not if, but when.
Jaylen Brown's a big part of us. Like, you know, I'm never going to predict the future, but every indication, everything that I think about is with, over the past few years, has been building around those guys.
Hmm. Well, then you just tried to trade them.
That's very nice of you, Brad. all right, so socks on the table, obviously. The Jaylen Brown situation on the table. I read the lengthy piece from the New York Times on Diana Russini, and that is on the table and will be on the table at some point this morning.
How can they not get quotes from the people in their own newspaper?
So we'll get
I need to start doing that to get out of tickets.
We'll get to all of that. Yeah, Wiggy, you could FaceTime. They'd probably be former NFL head coaches, but you could FaceTime and get yourself out of a ticket. Why not?
Does the 8x10 still work?
Well, I would always FaceTime Brady. That would probably be my go-to.
He would answer. He would answer. So a lot to get to this morning, and we will start with Leeds in exactly 2 minutes next.